There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We also have two guests with us for this segment. Amira Alalama is the MD of ALF Administration. You know, Amira, it's about 6 months or so since we've seen one another. It's very nice to see you.
It's really nice to see you, and nice to see all of you, actually.
Welcome back to the studios. Also, David McKenzie, it's about a week since I've seen you.
I don't feel as special.
Unfortunately, that's just how it is. Let me first of all, look, we've got two topics that we want to get to today. Claire is going to kick into those in a minute, but I just wanted to bring up this survey. You may have heard Danny talking there about two new reports, in particular a report saying, look, 60% of employers think that salaries are going to increase in 2018. I kind of approach these reports, David, with a little bit of trepidation. Mm-hmm. I know you do, but is that what you see?
No, I don't think that's the case. And I think that the report has been done by a recruitment company, of which I work for a recruitment company. And the problem is they've done it from a universe of their database, I'm assuming, where all of their database is looking for a job. So if you say to your database, by the way, you're going to have to take a 20% pay cut, you get a very disgruntled bunch of people. I think people are giving pay rises only to essential staff who they want to retain, keep or hire.
Okay. What I should do at this moment is refuse to push buttons to prove that I'm essential and that it will fall apart without me.
I think Sue will steam down the stairs.
She'll push the buttons herself, yeah.
Probably not worth it. Amira, what do you see in the market at the moment?
I mean, I agree. I agree with, because, you know, honestly, what I've heard from the market is that mostly middle management are getting the bit of the pay raise as opposed to the high-level management, which is something that's been happening all over the, across some of the companies that we deal with. So I think, like was said, it just depends on whether they want to retain the individual or not. But otherwise, I don't see it either increasing as much as been forecasted.
Okay, well, that's the voice of the experts. Over two-thirds of GCC employers expect salaries to go up in 2018, tempering that report once again. We'll have more on that a little bit later.
Drive Live talks careers.
Let's pick up on one of the topics that you've brought to the table today, Amira, and I'm really interested by this one. Of course, it's just over a year, maybe 2 years, is it, since military service was brought in for all Emiratis here. And you found that companies are struggling a little bit to accommodate candidates who have been through military service, who need to go through their military service, rather. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen with this issue.
So one of the most things that I have dealt with from companies that I usually work with have been asking us, do we hire these nationals knowing that they are going to be going on to 1 year military service? Now, and then they wonder if it's worth paying for that whole year, because as you know, most companies are obliged to pay for that year that they are in military service. It's by the government. So a lot of companies are saying, well, we're paying and the national's not even here, and then who knows what will happen when the national is in military service. Will he be then coming back to us, or will he be poached by government agencies in that area, and then maybe we'll say, well, I'm not coming back? Well, there are a lot of what I always say is there are a lot of ways that you can counter that. You can put in a clause that if they do join, you know, then they have to come back and work with you for about a year or two, as they do for most educational clauses that are in most companies when nationals or even expats go and do sabbaticals or go and do master's degrees. They and while they're working, then they have a clause that says once you graduate, you come back and then you come back to the organization. So I would say that companies should look into hiring UAE nationals, knowing that they would go into military service, because you're choosing them based on their merit. You're not choosing them as a seat filler. But my advice would be to let the national know that they are not going to be put into any high-level training programs, because that would be an incentive for them to come back to. So if they do tend to come back to that company, then they will have that sort of career plan in mind, knowing that you've come back, we're going to invest in you for your future.
Mm, which is reasonable, isn't it? I mean, if a company has an obligation, then it's reasonable as long as it's a reasonable obligation, to kind of pay that back and to offer an incentive for when you come back. I mean, hopefully, if you go off and do national service, you come back with an attitude that, right, I can go and achieve now. I mean, are you starting to see that?
Yes, and that's why, that's a big difference. So companies that have done that to the national and have told them, and we have a very great example, if you don't mind me giving it, is of a United Arab Bank. And they had a national who was a junior staff, and once they hired him, he informed them that within 2 months he was called into military service. And so they informed him that because they were so happy with his work as it was, they said, well, if you do come back to us, we're going to put you in a future manager's program training, and then hopefully if you stick that out and you do all the correct what is required of you, we will then show you your career plan and your promotion. And that's what happened. So he was promoted.
On the national service, do you get a notification 6 months before you actually have to do it? Or
it depends sometimes.
So it could be literally 2 weeks' time you've got to go. Wow, depends. Okay.
I mean, David, that's what I wanted to ask you, really. From an employer's point of view and the employers that you deal with, you know, here's something that's a positive for that generation of Emiratis. It's supposed to bring positive, you know, attributes to the people that go through military service. Mm. But from what Amara is saying, it's possibly something that's going to put companies off employing those young Emiratis, which of course is not the purpose of it at all. That's, you know, a negative. So you can understand, though, the challenges that the employers might worry about if you're going to invest in someone, and that you might then not be able to recoup that investment.
I think that's the key. You know, got to remember, companies work on a commercial footing. There's a philanthropy bit. They want to employ people within their own country, i.e. nationals. But if you've got a national that is really good, goes in national service and then gets picked up by a government agency paying 20% more, you've lost an asset there, and you've paid for that asset for 12 months. So similar in Turkey, because we've got a connection in Turkey, they have a similar thing, national service. But it's not paid by the company.
Yeah.
So that the company gets paid for, I think, correct me if any listeners are hearing this, but I think the companies get paid for losing that person out of their organisation, and then they have to go back for a period of time.
I think that happens here sometimes. Depends on the company. So it depends on the companies. I think a lot of them, because, I mean, there has to always be a give and take, like you said. So it wouldn't just be, I would just encourage not to look that as a reason for not hiring them, and just see based on merit. And as you would maybe put them in a slightly junior position, and then if they do come back, then you show them that because of their loyalty for coming back, you then, you know.
I think military people are great hires. I think they're
thing,
superb.
And maybe we'll get to it after the news, but the skills that those employees will then come back with, you know, that's something that an employer should have his or her eye on those, because they're going to be extremely valuable for any company.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's particularly in terms of attitude and, I guess, potentially leadership qualities and those kinds of things. So we're going to come back and talk about that in a few minutes' time. Amara Al-Alam is from ALF Administration. She's the MD back in the Dubai Eye studios again. David McKenzie, MD from Kenzie Jones. We've been talking about military service, companies focusing on Emiratis, the interplay between military service and that obligation to a profession. We will also be talking about diversity of inclusion, a new rule in hiring UAE nationals, people of determination, or people with disabilities, how not to single people out. That's another topic as well. It's all to come on Drive Live Talks Careers.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
NLT, as I've said, all week is away. Claire Sherrick's here. Amara Al-Alama is with us from ALF Administration. And David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones is with us too.
Drive Live Talks Careers.
We are talking careers this afternoon, and we're focusing on the careers of young Emirati graduates, young Emiratis. Military service is part of that, and it's the interplay between working, the Emiratization aspects of that, and then having to perhaps go off for a year to perform military service. It is compulsory for all males, Amira. I'm really interested, actually, in finding out from you what people are learning, what you're seeing from people that are now coming to you and working with you in employment terms, because the attributes that you gain from being in the military, perhaps the leadership qualities that you learn that are kind of inculcated into people, or the specific skills that you learn in the army. Just broadly, has there been a change in the last couple of years?
Yeah, mashallah, I'm so proud of the young Emiratis that are actually coming out of the military What happens is that you see that they are starting to learn how to work together as team. They're more team builders. They understand accountability and responsibility a lot more, you know, because sometimes what will happen, I mean, don't quote me, I've never been in the army, but from what I watch, but if, you know, if you're late for a few, you know, so if you have a certain wake up time that you have to be there, and if you're late, then you, you know, you kind of spoil it for the rest of the team, and then that kind of, they kind of just get really upset with you. So I think they learn that, or they're supposed to take responsibility, be on time, and a lot of companies come back to me and tell me that, you know, you told us to take a chance on them, and we're very happy that we did, because we see them and we can put them in leadership roles right now, because they're taking the opportunity to learn more, they're taking the opportunity to are more confident to speak out when they want to learn, or when they feel something is wrong and they want to correct it in a certain suggestion, and these things that were not there before. So I think it builds them up, it builds their character.
I mean, it's an important thing, isn't it, I suppose, because if you're, you know, I think back to when I was 18 and I was perhaps not the most focused person in the world.
you could have done with a sergeant major shouting at you.
That's exactly the point. I mean, all of us have issues on the roads, and it's very often a young guy, doesn't matter where they're from, but that young guy
that
in the
so
fast
true.
Car probably could benefit from the treatment of a sergeant major.
Absolutely.
David McKenzie, do you not think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Look, I'm military family, and I'm a real believer that the military gives you something that commercial life doesn't, and I think companies can benefit from having people from the military. And I think if UA National men, I know it is only men at the moment, would be a great asset, because they have that discipline, they have that focus, they have to get up in the morning at 7 o'clock, they have to go on exercise, they have to bring all their kit, they can't forget their gun. Which I did a few times.
Did you really?
So, you know, there's things like that. Yeah, I don't want to go into
you
that.
You became a radio operator, did you?
That's why he's no longer there. Yeah, exactly. Out, David. But is that something that you would encourage somebody who's looking for a job or wanting to expand their horizons in terms of a role, moving to leadership roles? If they've got any military background, they should be emphasising that in their...
Yeah, I think the bit... Now, there are two parts of this. We have Europeans who leave the army, and I think you typically leave the army after maybe 22 years, so you're around about your mid-40s or so. And the problem is with these guys, they come out and they've managed, you know, up to 100 people, they've managed massive budgets, they've moved tank divisions from Canada to Europe, they've done an awful lot, and then they come in and go, I'd like to be a recruitment consultant. And they have to often dial down their experience to be accepted, because they've done so much. But I think they're very focused, they're very disciplined, they listen pretty well because they've been used to being given orders, and they're very self-sufficient. And I think with the young Emiratis, I think this can only be a plus.
I mean, to round this off, Amara, do you think then that in terms of making sure that companies appreciate these talents that the recruits will come back with, number one, but two, making sure that they work with that employee to come up with a solution to the losing this year, that's what you're trying to educate them to do, because if that doesn't happen, we're going to go back to the beginning of this conversation.
Exactly.
and it's going to become a block to recruitment. So is that what it's all about, trying to get the two to marry up?
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, hoping for more companies to understand perhaps maybe that when they hire the national, and if that national, say for example, has to leave within 2 months of his employment, to sort of get him to understand maybe the basics of the company, to understand all the different departments, but not really get into the details. And as soon as he comes back, to give him incentives to understand that when he does come back, he will then be put on in a training capacity where he will learn and actually get involved. And then we've noticed a lot of UA National men tend to enjoy that and tend to stay in the companies that let them go and do the military. So
you got to remember, he's going to be, you know, living in a barrack block. Right. Believe me, he's going to look forward to coming back to work, because there's freedom you don't get in the military. You know, you're told what to do 24/7,
right,
and you have to clean everything. Everything has to be clean.
Also, they'll be keeping the office clean, will they?
Well, I've got to say, I guarantee the desk will be a lot cleaner.
Honestly, I've seen that. They're really, really neat when they come back.
Is that a trait you're starting to, really?
It's the thing I'm appreciating, because, you know, I can find more stuff when I come and visit them, because I'm like, oh, there's your document that I needed. It's right there.
Tidy desk, tidy mind. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? Do you
know, very proud.
Soup.com, I went there one day, their fulfillment centre in Alcoz, and it was run by an ex-army, Sergeant Major, Brigadier, I'm not sure. But it was run that way because when you run a business such as that, the size of that, the logistics of that, it's run as a military operation. Yeah. So there are very real correlations between the military world, in very simple terms, as there are in the business world. So, it, you know, all's well that ends well, I hope. We're going to continue talking to Amira Al-Alama from ALF Administration, David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones, but we're going to move on to diversity of inclusion next.
Drive Live talks careers.
Amira Al-Alama here from ALF Administration, David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones. We were talking military service here and the attributes that young people learn from going into the military for a period of time. It is a year, 12 months for male Emiratis. Somebody texts in, Amira, let me put this to you guys. Be realistic. Military service is 1 year. The changes are very subtle. I've managed a few people who've been through military service, and I suppose it affects different people in different ways. If you want to learn from it, you do. But is that too negative, do you think?
I think it's a bit negative. I mean, in terms of like, I mean, there's always negative and positive, no matter what field you're in, or no matter what you do, military or non-military or whatever it is. I think that you have to take it with a grain of salt. You also have to remember that the UE national culture, putting them in this sort of environment for them is something fairly new. So you'd have to appreciate that they've gone and done that and they've come back. And yes, maybe for some people, they might not live up to the idea that you might think they'd come out as a changed man. But I don't think any, I think you have to just take it with a grain of salt and keep on training them and just understanding where they come from. Of course, we're not saying that you keep them off the hook if they're continuously performing badly. But I do believe that in time, you will see a change and you will see them actually taking on responsibility and things that they would not have done otherwise had they not been in the military service.
I think it's down to the employer as well to cultivate, even if they are subtle changes, let's cultivate those and develop them, right? Because that's how you do what you do with an experienced staff anyway. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. And Amira, I want to start with you on this one. We're talking about inclusion, and we're talking in particular about bringing people with disabilities into the workplace. There's been quite a big push to do that over the last couple of years. But there's actually a new rule now because it wasn't quite working in some companies. Tell us.
Some of the companies that we used to work with over the years before used to hire them, but never then really knew what to do with them. So sadly, they would either just be put into a certain area or given just, you know, menial tasks for them to fulfill, and only being brought out when people of higher statures would come and see them. And I think thanks to His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, when he came up with the idea of including them, I see such amazing diversity now. I see them included in all sorts of fields. I see them recently, a very nice story from IBM was there was a man with a bit of a disability in terms of he only had one arm, and he was so afraid to come into the interview, his initial interview, and one of the staff members was a head of HR, and she's brilliant, and she told him, we're not going to look at you as somebody with one arm, we're going to look at you as a person, and you're going to tell us why we should hire you, and we're going to hire you based on your merit and not just because of that. But, you know, and I think that is phenomenal because, yes, he does get a sort of leeway coming in because of his disability. But I think the fact that he felt so honored that they would listen to what he had to say as opposed to just seeing him as somebody with a disability, I think that was amazing.
It's really important to know, isn't it? It's 1.3 billion people with disabilities in the world, David.
Exactly.
So if you're not finding a way to include that side of society in your workplace, then you're missing out on a very large pool of talent, of different ideas, of different innovations. And of course, we're all talking to the trying to deal with markets as well that are full of people of all different backgrounds. And you know, you've got to be thinking about this as a company, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about inclusion rather than exclusion, I think, as we were talking. I mean, when I was at Monster in the US, our call centre was predominantly staffed by people with disabilities, and mainly they were wheelchair people. There were a lot of them ex-military who'd been in combat and lost limbs and stuff. They were super motivated, A, because they were in an environment where people valued them, which is the key thing, and secondly, they were really good at their job. Whether they're in a wheelchair or not, they were good at what they did. And I think the one thing Monster did really well, they saw them, as we're talking about the IBM lady, they saw them as valuable people rather than valuable disabled people.
Do you know, the UAE's come a long way. in this, Myra, it's fair to say, particularly with His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, of course. We've still got a long way to go. Mm. Just give us a feeling of how far you think we've come. I know you brought a case study in today, yeah. which is kind of almost breathtakingly dumb on the heart, the part yeah. of the company, isn't it? Just relate that story, if you would.
So this happened with a very large organization, and they had a brilliant young man who was visually impaired. And you could, I mean, it was obviously that he was visually impaired. You know, he had a cane and he had sunglasses on, and you could tell that this boy had a, you know, was visually impaired. And he was doing a great job. He had been with the organization for about a year, and he was pulling his weight, and he was actually exceeding a lot of expectations. And there was a ceremony, you know, to thank a lot of these high working employees, and he was gifted a book, and not a braille book, a book, an actual book.
It's just a case of sort of extreme thoughtlessness, isn't it, in that yeah. situation.
He was,
and I think
hurt.
That just people yeah. still not used here to yeah. knowing how to work with people of all different diversity.
I agree, yeah.
And I guess there's a lot of education still to be done.
I think so. And I think a lot of things, I always say, you know, mentorship and coaching should always start from the top down. So, like, you know, we always tend to always look into the younger generation, always think that they need to be coached. And, you know, but a lot of things that are so ingrained in us, if we're not used to it, we'll end up making these kind of like oversights. And then it sadly hurts people, and he was very upset, you know, and rightfully so.
How did he react to that? Well, what did he say to you?
To be honest, I mean, he reacted better than I would have. He was very kind. He said, thank you so much, I appreciate it. And then he made a joke and he said, I'll let you know when I read it.
And then they probably felt very embarrassed.
And then I think they yeah. realized, you know, what they had done. So, I mean, good on him. Young Emirati, I was very proud of him.
Yeah. It's very clear from that we do have a very long way to go. I mean, what would you like to see? This is your business, Myra. What would you like employers to put forward? What would you like the government to do in addition to what's being done?
I mean, I'm very happy that these things are set in place. I would like some of these maybe different types of things to be set in place for the women of UAE, maybe not in terms of actually going out and doing the military full-time as the men would have to do, but maybe some sort of thing where they also kind of are put in situations where they need to think on their feet, and they need to learn that sometimes if situations are not as peachy or as rosy as, you know, in certain situations that might happen in life, that they should know how to deal with it on the spot. That's just my...
So maybe some kind of not military service, but a national service that they give, be it volunteering for a year
yeah.
or social work or something.
I would like to do that
something.
Myself as well. Like, I mean, yeah. as an Emirati, I mean, I would like to give back as well, and I would like to learn more, and I would like to have that sort of maybe be put in.
Can I just ask, as an Emirati, is that the way that people see national military service at the moment? Is that how military service is used? That it is a way of giving something back to the country. The
yeah.
country gives a lot to
it. Gives
to
a lot, and I think that is something, because it's like, it's basically saying, you know, you're going to be taken out of your comfort zone for a year, and you're going to be serving your country as learning about different things that you would never have thought about to learn. And I think for me, and I know a lot of people might not be happy, and I can see some of the listeners, you know, but I quite appreciate the fact that a lot of these young nationals are going and with the sense of pride to military service and coming out there and are really happy to serve their country when they come out. So
that's certainly the start of a change. Do you know, that's all the time we've got, unfortunately. It's been really good to talk to you,
really,
Amira.
Interesting.
It's been a long time since we've had you in the studio. Amira Alam is MD at ALF Administration. Good to see you. And David McKenzie, LT Mrs. McKenzie, needs to provide that broken biscuit cake next week. Just saying, if you ever want to come back again.
I think she's listening, so you'll probably get that now. Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you
as
for
well.
Having
That's
me.
The ordering. Good to see you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.